Good morning. Welcome then to this another service, a stream service from Bethel Evangelical Church in Gosseinen. And whether you are a usual attender with us or whether you are joining us from the locality or from further afield, we give you a warm welcome. Now we're going to begin with the reading of a few verses from Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the book. And then we're going to have an opening prayer and sing our first hymn. And then, boys and girls, if you prepare to draw a bit nearer, we'll have a children's address for you. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live in the praise of you, your name, and may your law sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Gracious Lord, we come to sing your praise this morning, to give you thanks for your mercy and kindness to us as we begin another week. And ask, Father, that you would draw near to us now to do us good, to instruct us, to speak to us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to look to you. Come by your Spirit, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Lovely to see you all. I'm getting reports you are really enjoying this lockdown. Although you're getting on with homework in the morning, then you're having the afternoon then to play with your friends on your computer games. And I did hear that cups of tea are being drunk in bedrooms as well. Well, this is all good news, and I'm sure you're continuing to enjoy yourself. Now, we want to thank you for those of you who've coloured in or written the Bible verse, the memory verse from last week. And Sam's going to put them up now for us to have a look at. You might recognise your own handwriting. Some of you, I think, worked very hard here using different colour pens to write each word. So some of you have written it out. Some of you have coloured it in. But we're very grateful for that, and remind ourselves of that lovely verse that Sam talked to us about last week when he showed us things that bring light. And Jesus is the light of the world. Now, of course, we're not able to go down to Bethel at the moment. But I do go down there from time to time just to check that everything is all right. And I was down there this week, and I've brought some things back to show you, things that I saw while I was there. And see now if you can make any sense. I'm going to show you these things and see if you can think, well, what am I trying to tell you about when I'm showing you these things? Now, the first is something like this. There's a little picture. There it is. It's obviously a small version of an umbrella, isn't it? Now, very important, last Saturday, sitting outside, the washing was on the line, and all of a sudden the rain came down in blobs. And I could have done with this umbrella just to help me get the washing in. But also as well, middle of the week, it got so hot. Well, again, this would have been handy. I could have put this umbrella up to keep the sun off my head. Some of us need to protect our heads more than others, as we know. So that was one thing that I saw while I was down in Bethel, and I brought it for you to see this morning. Now, the second thing was this. I found this. Now, this is a bib. Obviously, this belongs to a child, little baby perhaps, and very helpful because, you know, if you're having a drink or having something to eat, stops you from spilling things on, especially if you're wearing a tie. Well, some of your ties you can't wash, so you'll have to throw them out if you've got gravy and spaghetti on your tie. So there we are, very helpful again. Something I saw down in Bethel, and I thought, well, I've got a children's talk with the boys and girls on Sunday. I'll show them that. Reminds them that was found, that I saw that in Bethel. Something else. Now, the third thing I found was the third thing I found was a coat. It's a hoodie. There it is on the back. And this is very handy. Very, very handy, because in the winter time, when it's cold, it's got a couple of layers on there and keeps you warm. So this again, I saw it down in Bethel and I thought, yeah, that'll be helpful. I could show the boys and girls that as part of a children's story this morning. So there's a hoodie. Now, something else I found as well was this little creature. Is it? No, it's a little toy, and you can sit him down. So keep you occupied. If you want a little thing to play with, that was down in Bethel. I put it in my pocket. I thought, well, I'll show the boys and girls that as well. That's quite interesting. And then the last thing that I'm bringing to show you that I saw in Bethel this week, well, is this. Now then, you might recognize him. I think his name is Mata. He's in Cars 1, Cars 2, Cars 3. Quite an important character. Could play with him, I suppose. But he's a collectible. The only thing is, I wish I had the box that he was in with the plastic covering. If it had that now, that would have been a collectible, and that could be probably worth quite a bit of money later on. So five things I've found. So there they are. Now, what do they all have in common? Well, simply this. Simply this. They're not supposed to be in Bethel. They're not with the person who owns them. All those things down in Bethel are left there. They're not with their proper owner. They're lost. Now, we're going to talk later on when we come to the message, and everyone and the adults will be listening with me. We're going to be looking at one of the three stories that Jesus told about things that were lost. And we'll find them in Luke 15. And we're going to, in a moment, have a look at a memory verse there and try and remember that. But I won't tell you so much about the third story, but very quickly, the other two stories is a shepherd who had 99 sheep, 100 actually, but 99 were safe in the fold and one was missing. And we find the shepherd going out, and he searched and he searched and he searched till he found the sheep that was lost. And then he put it on his shoulders, he brought it home, and he had a party. He was rejoicing. And the Bible, Jesus said, the Bible verse, Jesus' word said, there's rejoicing in heaven when somebody comes back to God, when somebody who is lost, who's not where they should be, is not in right relationship with their owner and their maker, their creator, when they come back to God, there's rejoicing in heaven. And the second story is of a lady. She had some silver coins. She lost one of them, and she searched and searched. She swept the house. She lit the lamp until she found it, and then put it away safely, and again rejoiced and was happy. And again, Jesus said, it's the same thing. We're like a coin. We're like a lost sheep. We've gone astray. We're lost, not in owned properly anymore. And the Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. So it's a simple reminder that although we might be lost, we can be found. I don't know if you've ever been lost, perhaps in a shop. I can remember as a child being lost on a beach. It's a sort of frightening experience. But then I was found. Oh no, so glad. Well, we're going to be looking at how the fact that we're living our lives, and sometimes we're lost, don't know where we are, what we should be doing, but we can be found. And the Bible verse I want to share with you now is from Luke chapter 15, verse 24. Sam's going to put it up on the screen for you now, for you to see it. And this is the verse. Now then, if you'd like to write this out, or you'd like to draw a picture about it, the story of the lost son, let's say this little Bible verse together. Luke chapter 15, verse 24. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So, as we said, it may be now you could colour that Bible verse in, or perhaps you've got a story of something that was lost that you then found. Well, if you give us a little bit of a summary of it, send it off to us, and perhaps we can have a look at it and put it up for next Sunday morning. So there we are. Well, do you know, I was so excited to tell you the things that I'd seen down in Bethel, I forgot to give you the fist bump and the high five and the thumbs up. So I'll give it to you now as we leave. So have a good week. Enjoy your week. And perhaps we'll meet up again now soon, God willing, next Sunday as well. So without further ado, now we're going to spend time reading from God's word. And we're going to read that passage in Luke chapter 15, from verse 11. So let's do that together now. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So may God bless that part of his word as we look at it now in a few moments together. Now we're going to turn to the Lord in prayer together. Let's seek his face. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, the one who has no beginning and no end, the one who is forever the same, unchangeable in attributes and qualities, we acknowledge you this morning as the Lord of the ages, the Lord of times, the Lord of the years, of the months and of the weeks and of the days and of the hours. And Lord, you are the sovereign Lord who has determined our seasons and our times and our days. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves afresh and anew to you this morning. We rest our weary heads on your promises. For, Lord, they are as soft pillows to often our thumping and aching heads. Lord, may we know what it is to trust more and more in you. Dear Lord Jesus, you who in the beginning was the Word and was with God and was God, we bless you this morning that you lived a human life. You lived out its days and its nights, its joys and its sorrows. And Lord, we read that you are the same yesterday and today, and not only for tomorrow, but forever. Oh Lord, we would ask then that you would be pleased through the merit of your death upon that cross to pardon our sins and to restore our faith and to strengthen our wills and to bless our souls. Gracious Holy Spirit, who by then conviction and conversion brought us out of the night of sin into the day of salvation, be pleased to guide our steps in the moments of decision making, in the hours, Lord, of our grief and sorrow, in the times of despair also. And Lord, as we look then for that day of redemption, the day when you will come in your glory, Lord Jesus, and we will be brought then to a full realization of the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we have read of the things that were lost, that were found, we know, Lord, it is so much more about the one who searched us out, the one, Lord, who sought us and brought us to himself. And we would pray that we would know something of the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, reminding us that whatever we have been, whatever we have done, there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Lord, we pray that you would continue to provide care and comfort to those then who are supporting so many who are unwell and giving them treatment in the ICU units, Lord, as well as the wards and the care homes in our nation. For those, Lord, as well, who this week will be able to attend in small numbers family funerals. And others as well, Lord, who would wish to attend but are unable to do so because of the restrictions and because of the distances involved. But Lord, we also pray for those who have tested positive. Oh Lord, we thank you that the numbers are seemingly to be levelling off, but we do pray for those who will be in self-isolation today at home, and for those also who will be admitted to hospital for further treatment. Lord, we also pray for the governments in Cardiff and London, Lord, as they look now to relax the lockdown over the coming weeks. Lord, we know the need of this to be done without causing a new wave of cases and infections. Lord, we would pray then that there would be a clearer understanding and that no spirit of disunity would emerge. Father, we would also pray that you would grant the members of the United Kingdom, the citizens of the countries of Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales and England, Lord, that you would grant them patience, grant them consideration of one another, grant them also willingness to do what is best and to do what is right for the recovery not only of the health and the well-being, but also, Lord, of the future in terms of the economy of our nations. Lord, also we pray this morning for the many nations that are less well-equipped to deal with this virus, and many, Lord, in Latin America, many as well in Africa and Asia. And Lord, we pray that aid would continue to be given, especially to those who are also facing problems such as famine and drought, and also the civil wars that continue to rage in so many places. So Lord, continue with us now. Pardon our sins. Lead us on this week as we now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now we're turning to Luke chapter 15, to the third of these short parables of things that were lost that Jesus uses as an illustration of the loving care of God the Heavenly Father. We have had a number of different signs outside on the notice board in Bethel over the years. One I remember said, "We have a lost and found department. This church has a lost and found department." Well, as you can see by what I've illustrated with the boys and girls, I could have brought you some gloves as well. There are lots of things down there that need to be retrieved, that need to be found. But the more important thing is that the gospel tells us that although we may be lost, we can be found. And Jesus told them these three simple parables to highlight the love of God to men and women. They're well-known stories. And so well known, perhaps, that many think that they're stories simply for children to read. but the truth that they teach is relevant to adults as well. And we're going to look very quickly at the first two stories by way of introduction, and then concentrate on the third story, the story of the lost son. We know it's the lost sheep, the lost silver coin, the lost son. The lost sheep, first of all, we can say that sheep illustrates a heedlessness. A sheep puts its head down to eat grass, and it just goes on in a straight line. There are stories of sheep that have become bogged down in mud and in sort of spongy soil, because they've taken no recognition at all of the circumstances in which they are, and they just carry on. They're heedless. I certainly have a remembrance of a time when I was up near one of the reservoirs in Mid Wales, and all of a sudden a sheep just jumped out in front of the car, and I hit it. It was dazed. It still stood on its feet, shook a little bit, and then eventually wandered off. It just jumped into the path, absolutely heedless. Now, we don't need to compare ourselves as animals in that sense, because each and every one of us are rational creatures. There is reason, there is logic. That's part and parcel of that unique sense in which we are made in the image of God. We are much more than animals in that sense. But the Old Testament prophet and Psalm 119, those verses we read at the commencement of our service this morning, they do remind us that we are all like sheep who have gone astray. Each and every one of us has turned to his own way. I wonder how many times you've heard a person say, perhaps you've said it yourself, "I wasn't thinking," or "I wasn't paying attention." And as a result of that, carelessness has led to long-term consequences and difficulties for many an individual. Well, there's that thought then of a heedlessness, and many are living their lives heedlessly. They're not paying any attention at all. Paying attention to God's word, paying no attention to the scriptures that speak of a certain fact that there is a judgment day that is coming. And each and every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. What a person sows, he will reap. Now, we see it sometimes in terms of the physical consequences, but the Bible is telling us not to be like that sheep, not to be heedless. Now, the lost silver coin is a different sort of story, I suppose, because it's helpless. A coin is inanimate. Yes, it can roll away, perhaps, but something has to start that process. It can't make a decision in and of itself. It rolled into some dark corner or into a crack in the floor, and there it remained undetected. Now, again, it's important we don't overdo comparisons with regards to parables, but there is certainly a sense of helplessness in each and every one of us, especially with regards to the fact that as to spiritual things and to the things of God, we're helpless. Now, that can be true. You might say, "Oh, I'm like that with maths. I'm like that with English." But over time, you see, by studying, you can improve your sense of understanding maths and English, or any other subject. But when it comes to the things of God, there is a sense where, yes, we are helpless. We haven't got a clue. And that's why you see so many people see no value in the Bible at all. And it may be that you've not been reading the Bible until quite recently, since these circumstances have restricted us, and you've gone through a bit of cleaning, perhaps, and you've found a little book about the Bible, you found a tract, and you've sat down and read it, and perhaps you're thinking, "Well, still don't really understand it." Well, this is the true state of our hearts. We're dead in trespasses and sins, helpless to save ourselves unless the Holy Spirit begins to enlighten us. There's a verse of a lovely hymn that says this: "How helpless and hopeless we sinners had been if he never had loved us to cleanse from our sin." And there are some, see, who are thinking, "Well, I must try and clean my life up. I must improve myself." And that's perhaps why they can never come to church, because they're always in the process of cleaning themselves up to get ready to come. But the Bible is saying, look, you can't clean yourself up. You come as you are. You see, if we've got we would be beyond help if we had to clean ourselves up before he would love us and save us. And these three stories, the sheep was lost, the coin was lost, the son was lost. But eventually then they were found. The gospel is all about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to rescue the heedless and the helpless. But let's also acknowledge now that in this third story, which we'll turn to now, this young man, he was headstrong. There was something of a will in him. There was a willfulness. And this is perhaps what marks us out as human beings. There's a little bit of a rebel in each and every one of us. And that rebellion can bring us into great difficulties and problems. We're kicking over the traces of what our mum and dad told us. We're kicking over the traces perhaps of what our school friends and others are doing. We're going to do our own thing. And it comes with consequences. Now, every parable has its weaknesses. And that's why we must avoid looking for a meaning in each individual detail. But the emphasis of these three stories, these parables, are upon the searching and the looking. Yes, it's upon the lostness, but it's also upon the searching and the looking. The love of God pursuing and seeking for that which was lost. Now, we're never to think that men and women are in this unfortunate condition of being lost and that it's got nothing to do with them. You see, each and every one of us makes choices. We make decisions on a daily basis. And we continue in a sense of lostness. And that increases as we make our choices. Now, what we've got to look at simply this morning are what I call steps. Three steps. There's steps down. We begin to notice that with this young man as he sets off from home. Steps down into sin. There's also steps back in repentance. And thirdly, there's steps up in grace. Steps down into sin. Then let's look at this first of the three points. This young man, you notice, he wasn't a pauper. Poverty was not the issue in this young man's life. He didn't become willful. He didn't do the things he did because he was poor. There was no excuse in this regard for his actions. He was part of a well-to-do family that we read in verse 17 here in Luke 15, had hired servants. His father had hired servants. The first step down, we notice, began with a departure. There was a growing dissatisfaction in his life, a desire to do his own thing. And he made a choice to go away into a far country. And I can think of many a young person, or perhaps were part of a Sunday school, part of youth, and they attended, and then, of course, they did well, and then either went away for started a job, an apprenticeship, or went off to university, and at that point, they departed, not only physically from home, but they departed from all the things that perhaps they had heard and learnt as when they were growing up, and they jettisoned the whole thing, this Bible thing, this trusting in the Lord Jesus. And you see, this touches now upon the familiar relationship. It's possible, and certainly the older son who's mentioned here, we're not looking at him this morning, but he stayed at home. But in one sense, he was as far away from his father as this younger son was. You see, you can be living in the same house with someone and yet far away from them. They're completely lost to you, and you are completely lost to them. Sin has been described very much like a far country. It's away from God. One sin is a step away. One sin, we know, took Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. We read of that in Genesis chapter 3. And the last book of the Bible as well, the book of Revelation tells us, Revelation 21, 27 tells us, you see, nothing impure will be brought into heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. The next step down was not only the departure, but the next step down was that he spent all that he had, all his resources, on things that wouldn't last. It robbed him of all he considered important. You read here that he ploughed all his resources that he had from his father into endless, pointless things, useless things. All his hours, all his money, it was like ploughing it all into candy floss until all he was left with was a stick. Verse 15 reveals something else as well, another step down. We notice then that he fell on hard times. And this is what's happening to many people at the moment. It's all right when things are going well. I mean, this time of the year, we'd be on holiday, we'd be down the beach, we'd be enjoying ourselves, doing what we want, but we've fallen on hard times. And in the midst of the hard times, you begin to realize what you've lived your life for and perhaps how lost you are. There are people who can't stand it being in the house on their own. Why is this? they can't stomach their own company. They've got to be out and talking to people. They've got to be out. Now, we're all about being in society. We're made for fellowship. But there are some, you see, they've got to have the radio on. They've got to have the TV on. They've got to have some background noise. They've got to have something they're doing. They can't just sit down on their own. And all these thoughts, see, all the sort of cul-de-sacs and all the regrets and remorse and the sad events of life begin to crowd in on them. They can't stand still. Well, this man, young man, he fell on hard times. He felt something of the degradation of his situation. He ends up now as a Jew. This was something that would be very painful for him. The only job was to feed swine. And we know that animals, pigs were unclean animals. Deuteronomy 14 verse 8 tells us that. I can recall as well a biography I read of a famous English footballer who became addicted to alcohol. So much so that he would open the bins at times if he had no bottles in the home that were empty, all empty. He would go into the bins just to have a drop of liquid to satisfy his cravings before the shops could be opened early in the morning and he could restock. Another step down was seen in the fact that no one eventually became his friend. He had plenty of friends when he had the resources and the money, lots of companionship there, but now he's alone. He was in, you know, no resources at all. We know that not only was he really struck by the fact that the father, whom he had so disappointed and decided to turn away from him, we know that there was one who had stuck by him. Others left him, but the father back at home was still, though he had offended his father, the father still loved him and longed for his return. So there's steps down into sin. The second point is steps back in repentance. Verse 17 tells us, when he came to his senses, the old King James Version, when he came to himself. The reading of the New Testament tells us that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin and to convict us of the steps that we've taken and to remind us that we need to turn. We need to go back. We need to start again. We need to return to where we began. There was a decision then made in this young man's life to return, to retrace his steps back. Yet in reality, this stepping back was actually a stepping forward. Many a person has gone down to think perhaps that it's impossible for them to be rescued from where they are. They throw then the remaining days and weeks and months and years of their life away. It's pointless. I've gone so far, I can never return. It is these steps then that we need to take towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we little realise that he has been alongside us all the time. He's been there much longer than we thought. He's always been there alongside us. And we come to a point again with one of the hymnists where we say this, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. There's a returning. Repentance is a turning around. It's also, as well, a coming to the Father. It's coming back to God. Now, what did he find on returning? Well, perhaps this was something that perhaps he feared, because he knew he had disappointed his father and disobeyed him. And he was willing then to say, look, I can come back, but I'm not worthy to be called your son. Let me just be as one of your hired servants. But what did he find when he returned? There was a loving embrace. There was a happy reunion. However sinful, however heedless, however headstrong a person has been, in the gospel message, there's always a warm welcome awaiting you if you would return. I'm pretty sure that there are people who are following us this stream service this morning, who they can watch this and enjoy this and be part of it and be instructed and find God is speaking to them, but they could never come through the doors of a church or a chapel because they don't feel themselves to be good enough. They don't feel themselves to be ready to come yet. But look, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. And this is what this young man decided to do, to return to his father. Now, none of these three parables are meant to give us any details as to what is required if sin is to be pardoned and forgiveness is to be known, and for fellowship and relationship to be restored with God. We know from other parts of the Bible, other passages, of the cost revealed in Scripture, of the stepping down of the Lord Jesus into this world. Not a stepping down into sin, because he always remained faultless, he always remained sinless and pure and holy in all his words, thoughts and deeds. But he certainly stepped down into humanity and stepped down in humility, as that old Christmas hymn tells us, stooping so low, yet sinners raising. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was, he described himself, as the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, who would seek the lost sheep. There's an old Sankey hymn. We don't sing so many of them today. One of the hymns speaks of the 99 sheep safe in the fold. And one verse touches upon something of the cost of finding the lost sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters trod, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. We know something of it as we read that trial, and we read the crucifixion, and we read the death of the Saviour. Something of the price that he paid so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be brought back to God. So steps down into sin, steps back in repentance, although those steps are not back in one sense, they are forward to God. And then thirdly and finally this morning, steps up in grace. Grace is the unmerited favour of God, which clearly is displayed in what happened to this young man as he returned. Look at it. First of all, verse 24, there was a reinstatement. The most he'd hoped for was being taken back as a servant. This is how he proposed to speak to his father in verse 19. But when he arrived, the father embraced him, and the father reinstated him. And he said, "This my son is found. This my son was dead and is alive again." Paul wrote to a church in Galatia, and he told them that those who have been redeemed, who have rebelled and sinned against God, were now called children of God. Not only was he reinstated, but you notice there's reference to a robe. Put the best robe on him. He had nothing but rags, but these were changed. The essential gospel truth, which we've looked at a number of different times and from different angles, is simply this, that the Lord Jesus took our sins, took our lostness, all those things that make us lost as far as our relationship with God is concerned. He took it upon himself, and he took it out of the way upon the cross. And also then he gave us his goodness, he gave us his righteousness, he gave us his cleanness, and that became a robe that we could wear, so we could stand in the presence of God and know that we would be accepted. So reinstated, a robe was given him, a ring was given him. That was a symbol then of his return. Also, there was refreshment given to him as well. Provision of daily food, bread and enough and that to spare. Daily nourishment. All we would need then in our Christian life to go on, to live the life that pleases God, to become strong in grace, is provided for us in the Word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. You see, if you become a Christian, you're not going to have to live this Christian life on your own. You're not going to have to carry on struggling like you've been up to this present moment. No, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And there's a sense where the Spirit of God lives in us and helps us then and feeds us and encourages us to grow in the things of God. And then lastly, you notice there is rejoicing. Well, there was rejoicing in each and every one of the parables. The shepherd was rejoicing. The woman was rejoicing. The father here is rejoicing. There was joy in the home. So many are able to tell this story of how they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what a difference it made to family life. We're hearing sadly of this lockdown. Obviously, many are enjoying it. We're hearing some of our boys and girls are quite looking forward to carry on forever. But there are others, I know social workers are concerned to get children back into school so that they know they're fed, they know they're cared for, that they're not going to be abused. Well, to bring joy into a home, this is what the gospel simply does. There is joy also in heaven over one sinner that believes. Sadly, there are many who are bowed down with a sense of their shame and guilt, and they consider themselves never enough worthy enough to perhaps to sneak into the back. That's why even if the churches were open, they couldn't come. They feel themselves so unworthy. They perhaps, or even in their own home, they feel they can only sit in the corner. But the gospel message this morning speaks of a full and glad welcome. It speaks of an embrace. It speaks of a provision. It speaks of an inclusion. It speaks of a reception that's beyond all that could be expected. So as I'm concluding, I want to say this. However far away you may think you've gone down in sin this morning, however far away from God you've placed yourself, perhaps you might think you're beyond the reach of God's mercy. My dear friend, you need only remember the stooping down of the Saviour and the readiness and the willingness of the one who came to identify with us and to lay down his life in atonement for sin, to open the life gate that all may go in. Oh yes, there are steps back that need to be taken, but in reality, they're not steps back, they're steps forward. Forward towards God, forward towards his mercy, forward towards his love. And what will you find if you come to him? You'll find a father's welcome. You'll find an open door. You'll find a ready embrace. You'll find an accepting smile. So many are able to give this testimony. They've come in their lostness and said, Lord, I'm returning. I'm coming to you. Save me, change me, alter me. And he has. And they've known something of that assurance of God's grace and mercy. The danger in reading these parables is to think that they're just children's stories and not realize that they speak of the danger every one of us is in. Are you outside the fold this morning? Are you a coin outside the bag or no longer on the chain? Are you a son who is away from home, from the father's home? However young you are, you can never be too young to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And however old you are, you can never be too old. You can still come to him. But you must come now. You must come today. You must come in this time of lockdown. My dear friend, I'll tell you what, you won't always be listening to these services. The shops will be open. The leisure centres will soon be open. And you'll get back into your normal routine. But God has been speaking to you in this time of lockdown. Will you heed his word? Will you heed his voice? Will you come to him? Will you trust in him? So if your heart has been softened in these last few weeks, as perhaps you've heard many messages and perhaps picked up the Bible and started reading it, will you return, O wanderer? Return and seek an injured father's face. May God bless this word to our hearts this morning. Amen. We close with a benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. God bless you.